You're listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Beginning in verse 13, Exodus 33:13. If you're there, say amen. And it says this: Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider too, this is your nation, and this is your people. The title of this message this morning is The Culture of Mercy. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we just declare right now that this is your place. Have your way. Like Pastor Dan said, we welcome you into this room. We acknowledge you. We declare, have your way in this place this morning. Father, I declare right now that your word is a true. Your word is alive. Let it be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. Father, our purpose this morning is to minister to you. And I pray as we minister to you, Father, that you will minister to us. Lord, we declare right now, Lord, give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying. Father, give us hearts to receive it, minds to understand it. Holy Spirit, we declare no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. We declare, Jesus, you have authority in this place. You have the greatest authority. We declare that your name is the greatest name. We declare that your word is above all things. Lord, I declare right now, have your way in this place. We say, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Father, we just come against every distraction. Father, every worry of life, everything that would make this word be unfruitful in our lives. Father, let the word go down deep. And I pray that it would bear much fruit today. Father, prepare our hearts to receive. We love you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen and amen. Intercessors, pray for me as I minister. I've been ministering all year on the topic of mercy. And I've been coming for years to your guys' church. And so you know by now that the Lord has been speaking to me on a series of prophetic words over the body of Christ. For the last few years. This began in 2014. And this year when I went to go seek the Lord and ask him what his heart over his people was, I clearly heard him say that this was a year of mercy. And as I began to look at mercy and study mercy, I found that mercy is the divine goodness exercised towards the wretched and the guilty in perfect harmony with the demands of truth and justice. You say, what does that mean, Landon? It simply means this: mercy is undeserved kindness. Mercy is God's heart towards us. We see in the Old Testament that word loving kindness. What does that mean? Loving kindness is the kindness that takes God to do. It's easy to be kind to strangers. It's easy to be kind to people that you like. It's difficult to be kind to your enemies. That's loving kindness. Loving kindness or mercy is not whom you choose to be merciful to. Mercy is the atmosphere or the culture in which you walk and live. It is easy to be kind to people that you enjoy. But sometimes it could be really challenging to be kind to certain people. How many know what I'm talking about? Certain family members, certain friends, certain coworkers, that it takes loving kindness. It takes God to show them love. Because you don't want to give them the right hand of fellowship. You prefer to give them the left foot. How many know what I'm talking about? Loving kindness, it's a God's kindness. It's undeserved kindness. In the Word of God, there's 467 different scriptures that speak directly to mercy. Some of my favorites is Matthew 5, 7. In the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about the Beatitudes. And he says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Psalms 145, verse 8, it says, the Lord is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Anytime you see that word steadfast love in your translation, it's usually pointing back to mercy. Luke 6, 36 says, be merciful because your Father in heaven is merciful. We know according to 2 Corinthians 1, 3, that the devil is the father of lies. But according to 2 Corinthians 1, 3, we know that God is the Father of mercies. I love what Hebrews 4, 16 says. It says, let us therefore come with confidence and draw near to the throne of grace. Why? That we might receive mercy. I love James 2, 13. It's not just a Bethel song. It's scripture. It says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Lamentations 3:22, I love this scripture. It says, his mercies are new every morning. The worship team sang about that this morning. How about Psalms 23, verse 6? I'm going to minister on this tonight. It says this, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. What does that mean? It means that you don't have to look for mercy because mercy looks for you. I love Micah 6, 8, where it says that we are to love mercy. I've been praying every day, Lord, give me a love for mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is the distinct word that characterizes God as revealed to man. If you're taking notes, what do I mean by that? I mean it's the character of God. Mercy is love that is kind when justice might make it otherwise. Mercy is God acting on his own terms. Mercy is God dedicating himself to us. Mercy is heaven's love. Church, I'm telling you, mercy is the only thing that is going to hold America together. We need the mercy of God. Politicians can't fix it. Programs aren't going to fix it. The only thing that is going to heal our nation in cities that are being torn apart by its very fabric is the mercy of God. We see mercy as an outlining theme all throughout Scripture. We see mercy when a blind man was crying out to God and he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. When everybody else was saying Jesus, when everybody else was saying prophet, when everybody else was saying teacher, when everybody else was saying rabbi, one man was crying mercy and it turned the attention of Jesus to that man and it demanded the attention of heaven. Hear me, mercy is one of the most powerful prayers you could ever pray. Have mercy. Jesus turned to him and said, what can I do for you? Because the prayers of mercy are heard by heaven. Mercy is the sinner's best friend. We look at a guy like King David, right? And so many people say, you know, I want to be like David, or I compare myself to David. I'm kind of a prophetic guy, so we see things black and white. So I've never wanted to compare myself to David due to his adulterous affairs and his involvement with murder. That's just me personally. But when we look at David and we see his flaws, and I love God's word, and you know God's word is God's word because if it was man's word, they wouldn't write about all of their mistakes. And in God's word, it's outlined all of these faults and failures that David had. And when we think about David's faults and failures, we tend to think, well, maybe it was his affair or maybe it was his conspiracy to murder that might be his greatest sin. But that wasn't his greatest sin. His greatest sin was directly disobeying the Spirit of God and numbering the children of Israel. Can you imagine that? That was his greatest sin. You say, well, how do you know that was his greatest sin? Because when he committed adultery, there was two deaths that were involved due to the consequence of his sin. But when he directly disobeyed God and numbered the children of Israel, there was over 70,000 children of Israel that died. Every time I teach this, there's usually an usher in the back counting, and all of a sudden they just stop. Right about there, they just stop counting. Now, why was that such a grievous sin? Because God told Moses when he was giving the law to not have the priests count the children of Israel. Why? Because he didn't want them counting on people, but he wanted them counting on him. He wants you to count on God, not count on finances, not count on a 401k, not count on a backup plan, but always always rely on God. And here's what happened. When Moses, or when David was faced with his greatest sin, he said this, let me fall into the hands of a merciful God. Hear this. David realized that mercy was always going to be there for him because mercy was the characteristics of God. Are you here today? Anytime we see mercy, we find the mercy seat. What was the mercy seat? Mercy seat was the place inside the Holy of Holies where the tangible presence of God was sitting on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And that's the place where the high priest would go and he would take the blood. And the Bible says that he once a year, he would sprinkle the blood on top of the mercy seat. And that's the place where the sins of all humanity would be atoned for. I love this. Mercy is not the place that rejects sin. Mercy is the place that welcomes it. So many times people think, I've already asked the Lord to forgive me so many times. I cannot go back to him. That's what we would think in our natural mind. That's what makes sense to us. Come on. You wronged me once, shame on you. You wronged me twice, shame on me. That's how we judge things. That's how we determine things. But that's not how God does it. God says that his mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Watch, the mercy seat was created so that you would have a place to come into the presence of God and to bring your sin and to bring your shame and to bring your pain, every one of your mistakes over and over. I know you told God that you would never do it again, and here you are doing it again in the same place, making the same mistakes, doing the same thing, holding the same grudges, holding on to the same unforgiveness. But watch, God says, I created a mercy seat for you to come and bring me your sin over and over again. And then the Bible says that when Jesus was crucified on the cross, that the curtain temple rent from top to bottom and created an access that anyone now could come to the presence of God, could come to the Holy of Holies and have intimacy with God. The year of mercy is a year of intimacy with God. As I've been studying this and looking at this, and even over the last few years, it's a fun thing because when God speaks to me a word, all of a sudden I start seeing that word all throughout scriptures. I told you over 467 scriptures. I cannot do my daily Bible reading without coming across mercy on a daily basis. And I love it because now it kind of jumps off the pages to me every time I see mercy. And then I highlight mercy, every scripture on mercy in the same color all throughout my Bible. And I'm finding it everywhere. I see it where I didn't see it before. It's kind of like this. You know when you get a new car and then all of a sudden you start noticing that car everywhere, but you didn't notice that car before you got that car? You know what I'm talking about? Or it's kind of like any motorcycle riders in the room, where you pass someone, right, and all the motorcycles, you know, throw out their finger like this. It's like a little casual. You see motorcycles do that to each other? Unless someone's on a moped and they're like this. And then the motorcycle rider's like, don't wave at me. So don't wave at me. But watch, you recognize something, watch, that is now becoming familiar to you. Church, this morning, my prayer is that you begin to recognize mercy. Mercy is always there. Mercy is the fabric of the presence of God. Mercy is the characteristics of God. Or I'll put it like this. Mercy, if you're taking notes, write this down, is the character of God. What do I mean by that? I'm looking at the story of Moses. And honestly, I've been camped out in Exodus chapter 33 for months. I've had this tie in Exodus 33 sitting in my Bible for months, and I haven't taken it out because I haven't been able to leave it, because I have felt in my spirit that there is something there. Come on, any saints know what I'm talking about, where you know something's there, you're not sure what's there, but something's there. I call it your spiritual spidey sense. It's telling you that there's revelation. It's telling you that there's rhema. If you just stay and read that logos, that word, long enough, the Spirit of God will breathe upon it and it will become rhema. I believe that there's rhema for this tonight. this morning. So we have the story in Exodus chapter 33 that I just read of Moses. And he's in between his calling and his promise. He's in between the starting point and the finish line. So he's at the place where majority of us are at this morning, where we've been introduced to God and we started the journey, but we haven't reached the fullness of that relationship with God. We're not into promise. We haven't fulfilled destiny, but we are in process. Moses was in process. His process started at the beginning of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 3, we find him on the backside of a desert, and he's tending his father-in-law's sheep, and he finds a burning bush, and the bush comes on fire, and God calls to him outside of the bush and calls him into his servants. And I love what Moses asks. He says, in case they ask me who you are, who do I tell you they are? Watch. This was the beginning stages of Moses' relationship with God. And in the beginning stages of his relationship, he's asking the same question. He's saying, God, who are you? Come on, is there any saints that you've asked that question? I know you may have gone through Bible studies and you may have been serving the Lord a long time. Guys, I got saved at 3 years old. I preached my first sermon in India at 14, and I've been preaching all my life. And daily I'm asking the Lord the same thing. Teach me who you are. I want to know you. I want to know you more intimately. I want to grow. I want to hear your voice more clearly. You say, Landon, but you prophesy. I know, but I need to hear his voice more. Every day I want to hear it more clearly. I want to know that perfect will of the Lord. I want to know that I am not in my will. I'm not doing what I want to do, but I want to be right in the perfect will of God. It always brings me joy when people come with their prayer requests and they say, Landon, I want to be in the perfect will of the Lord. And I love that, because if you have a desire to be in God's perfect will, you will be. Moses is in process. Moses was introduced to a God by fire, but watch, he desired to know the author of the flame. Moses, watch, was learning God's culture. I want to stop for a moment and just talk about culture. What is culture? Culture, as Webster defines it, is an integrated pattern of human knowledge, belief, or behavior that depends on the capacity for learning and transmitted knowledge to succeeding generations. It literally means the characteristics or the features of everyday experience. This is what culture is. So watch. If something happens long enough, if something happens consistent enough, it becomes a culture. Are you with me? So I grew up in Seattle. I lived there till I was 20 years old. Go Seahawks. And when I grew up in Seattle, when I told someone I was from Seattle, the first thing that they talked about was the rain. They say, man, it must rain a lot there. And majority of people had never even been there, but because the culture, watch, or because the pattern of the characteristic of that city is for it to rain, its culture is a rainy society. Are you following me? Or if you say Phoenix, most people say, man, it's hot there. Now, why are they saying that? It's not because it was 122 for one day last summer. It's because it's 110 every day for 4 months. How many would say, no, thank you. No, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Well, watch. It's a pattern. Watch that if you're there long enough, if it happens over and over enough, it becomes the character which produces a culture. Are you with me? So a dry climate is because the culture of heat. The characteristic of heat for so long creates that culture, or rain for so long. Are you following me? So watch, that behavior, that pattern becomes over a period of time a characteristic, and that creates a culture. Now watch, a culture is what impacts things that are around you. Are you here? Culture is powerful. culture not only affects your life, but it affects the lives of the people around you. So hear this. Listen, hear this, church. I need to break this down because we're going to go somewhere this morning. Listen, everything has a culture. Every family has a culture. Every church has a culture. Every business has a culture. Have you ever walked into somebody's house and the moment you walk in their house, all of a sudden you get the eebie-jeebies? Or I'll put it like this, you have anxiety. Or there's something, and it's not because there's dishes in the sink. There's something, watch, in the atmosphere that is kind of resisting your spirit. It's resisting the Spirit of God. The atmospheres change. As a prophetic minister, I can go into different cities and I will feel atmospheres, or I will feel cultures. I will walk into churches and you will feel, because of the atmosphere over a period of time, you will feel the culture in that church. You can tell if it's a house of freedom. You can tell if it's a spirit-led house or a presence-driven church by the culture that's there. You can feel the culture in staffs. Your workplace has a culture. When it's grumbling and complaining and murmuring and gossiping and no one wants to be there and no one likes it and we're not paid enough and this isn't fair and that's not fair. Watch what? It's creating a culture that affects things around them. Are you with me? So I just want to talk about cultures just for a second, because so many of us in church are so focused on vision, but we neglect the culture. So we say stuff like, without vision, the people perish. And that is absolutely true. But without a culture, that vision can't be sustained. Are you with me? Are you following me? Listen, youth ministries have cultures. Small groups have cultures. I've come to ask you, what kind of culture are you cultivating at Blue Roof Church? Watch, a culture determines everything. A culture determines what we do. A culture determines how we do it, what we value, what we invest in, what motivates us. Is there a culture of generosity, or is there a culture of greed? Is there a culture of love? Or is there a culture of holding on, judgmental, holding on to the things of past, not letting go? Culture determines, watch, what motivates us. Culture determines how we respond to victory and how we respond to defeat. The culture determines how we respond to the sin and to the sinner. A culture determines how we communicate and watch and what we communicate. The culture of a church, the culture of a family determines everything about it. Watch. There are certain plants and trees that cannot grow in the wrong culture. All these people just church hopping all the time and going to different churches. Well, there's some that do that, but there's some that can't grow in that culture. Hear this. What culture are you trying to grow your children in? What culture are you trying to grow your spirit in? Your walk with the Lord in? Culture determines everything. Now watch, from Genesis to Revelation, God is communicating a culture of mercy. Culture is birthed in character, and the character of God is mercy. I came across Genesis 33:13, and I underlined it three different times and three different highlighters, and then I drew a circle around it in my Bible, and this little tie has been in here in Genesis 33:13, where it says this: now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways that I may know you, in order that I might find favor in your sight. I had read that over and over and over, and I said, I know there's something there. What is there? And I prayed into it, and I fasted upon it. And just about every day I come and read this, and all of a sudden, I felt the Lord just impress on my spirit. And that scripture of Exodus 33:13 is the culture of mercy. Now this kind of stood out to me, because it doesn't even say mercy in this chapter, or in this verse. Read it again. Look it up, put it up on the screen if you would. He says, Teach me your ways, that I may know you, that I may find favor. I believe that Moses was praying the mercy culture. Let's break this verse down. Number one, it says, show me your ways. This is from the Hebrew word darak, which means this, the course or the life of mode or action. This is Moses saying, show me how, God. This is him saying, show me the best direction or the course that I should take in my life. This is like Jesus praying in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. Your perfect will be done. I need direction. I want to be in your perfect will. This is where men are asking for the heart of the Father. This is where men are saying, God, I don't want to just do what I want to do, but I want to know who you are so I can know who I am in. It's amazing to me, I youth pastored for over 10 years, and anytime a student would go out in rebellion to find themselves, they would come back more jacked up than they ever when they left. What do I mean by that? You cannot find yourself in yourself. You can only find yourself in God. You're not going to find your destiny. You're not going to find your purpose. You're not going to find what you were made for within you. You're going to find that within the Creator. This is when Moses was saying, Lord, I want you to teach me who you are. Teach me your ways. Second thing he said, number two, that I may know you. If you are going to know the heart of the Father, hear this, Blue Roof. You're going to have to know the mind of Christ. If you want relationship with the Father, you get access through the Son. A lot of people think they know me, but the people that have real deep, intimate relationship with me also have intimacy in relationship with my children. Watch. When someone really knows you, they know your kids. That's when they start calling you uncle or auntie or DD or little nicknames in the family, and you're not even blood related, but watch, you are that close. You are that intimate. See, when Moses was saying, I want, teach me your ways that I may know you, watch, he is asking for a greater level of intimacy. The mercy culture is a greater level of intimacy. Jesus said this, many will say, we prophesied in your name, we cast out devils in your name, we did all of this works. And Jesus said, away from me, you doers of iniquity, I never knew you. You never had intimacy with me. We never had communion together. You didn't know who I really am. And watch, I believe that the mercy culture is when you have not only intimacy with the Father, but intimacy with the Son, Jesus, because you have relationship with him through the cross. Someone say amen. Amen. Number one, show me your ways. Number two, that I may know you, relationship with Jesus. And number three, it says this, that I would find favor. This is so powerful. That word favor in the Hebrew is the word grace. Or graciousness, or the spirit of grace. As I begin to look at this and study this and pray into this, I believe that the Lord is talking about relationship with the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by washing us of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what gives us favor. Relationship, walking with the Holy Spirit is what orders our steps. That's what encounters, that's how we encounter the glory of God. That's how we encounter the majesty of God. That's how we walk and talk. Jesus said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to give you an advocate. I'm going to give you a friend. I'm going to leave you with my spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were gathering in a place, and what seems like tongues of fire came in the room, and the Holy Spirit ascended on them like doves. And when the disciples left there, they left with that spirit of God. And when they walked places, they said, have you received the Holy Spirit? Spirit. And people would say, no, we haven't heard about the Holy Spirit. And they would lay hands on him and they received him. We read in 1 Corinthians 13 and 14 where the Apostle Paul is teaching us about the power of the Holy Spirit and life in the Holy Spirit. Hear this. I believe the favor of God, how you find favor, is a life led by the Spirit of God. He said, you will go and you will find favor. I believe that in Exodus 33, 13, hear this, Blue Roof, that Jesus or God is teaching Moses the revelation of mercy. What is the revelation of mercy? Watch this. I believe the revelation of mercy is the mercy culture is the convergence of the Trinity. I was in prayer two nights ago. I was praying into Exodus 33, 13. As I was sitting there in prayer, the Holy Spirit showed me, there's my Trinity. I'd never seen this before. He said, Father, show me your ways. Number one, he said, Jesus, watch, Moses saw the Trinity in the mercy culture. In Exodus 33, verse 13, it shows us the Trinity. Put that up on the screen one more time. It says, he says, teach me your ways that I might find favor. Or excuse me, that I may know your ways, that I may know you, that I might find favor. Moses met Jesus, watch, in the burning bush. I believe the Godhead that Moses met in the burning bush was Jesus. In Exodus chapter 3, the bush comes on fire. I already read the scripture. And when the bush is on fire, it says the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames. Well, all throughout scriptures, it refers to Jesus as an angel of the Lord. But watch this. When Moses said, tell me who you are. Tell me who the one who sent me if they ask. And here's what it says in verse 13. God the Father sent me and asked, what is your name? He says, then this is what I shall tell them. Verse 14, this is God saying to Moses. He said, I am that I am. The first time Moses asked God, what's your name? God responds through a burning bush, I am that I am. Watch this. Now, Jesus used that same phrase in the New Testament when he was describing himself. If you study this word, I am, it's literally the word YHVH, or it's the unspoken, unpronounced name of God that only Moses and the Israelite Levitical priests knew. So when the Pharisees attacked Jesus and they said, you don't know who God is, and he said, I am that I am, he pronounced the name that nobody else knew how to pronounce. Jesus said, I am before the foundations of the earth, I am. John 8, 58, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus was identifying as the I am. He says in John 5, 46, you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. He wrote about me. How is Moses writing about Jesus, who wasn't even on the earth yet? Watch, because he met him in the fire. This wasn't the only time that Moses or that Jesus showed up in a fire. There's a story in the book of Daniel about three men that walked into a fire, and then there was a fourth one that was waiting to them in the fire. Why weren't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego consumed in the fire? Because Jesus was there already burning. They didn't walk into a fire. Watch, they walked into his mercy. That's why you will walk through the fire and you won't be burned, because mercy will be there waiting for you. Watch, Moses' introduction to God was through Jesus in the burning bush showing him mercy. Second, part of Moses' relationship with God. Watch this. In Exodus 33, verse 9, it says, Moses entered the tent and the pillar of the cloud would descend and stand in the entrance of the tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses. And when the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing in the entrance of the tent, all of the people would rise in worship, each at his own tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Moses met this second member of the Trinity, in my order here, the Holy Spirit, in the cloud of glory. The Bible says that Moses would go up the mountain and he would come down and his face would shone so bright. He would go and be with God, and as he was with God, he would reflect the presence of God. He would reflect the glory of God. And the Bible says that he would go and be in the inner court, and the Holy Spirit would come, or the glory of God would come. And when the Holy Spirit would come, they couldn't even see him because there was so much glory in the room. And that is where the Holy Spirit would speak to him. There's a man named Benny Hinn who wrote a book a long time ago. It's called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And he describes his friendship with God. It's interesting, when Moses is describing the Holy Spirit, he's describing his friendship with God. Because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit wants to be your best friend. The Holy Spirit wants to be your comforter. The Holy Spirit wants to walk with you and talk with you and be in relationship with you. Not just Jesus the Son, but the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And number three, Moses met the Father, the author of it all, passing before him on the mountain. Look at Exodus 34, verse 6. Put it up on the screen or turn there in the Word. Exodus 34, verse 6. Look at this. And the Lord passed before him, Moses. Now, let me stop for a second. In Exodus 33, Moses is crying out, "Who are you, Lord? I've met your fire. I've met your spirit. Who are you?" And I love this. Look at this, Pastor Dan. When God responds to Moses, he says, "I'm going to tell you my name." The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God merciful. When Moses is asking God, teach me your character, show me your culture, who are you? He says, I'm merciful. That's who I am. That's my characteristic. I am the God of mercy. I am a merciful God. Church, I believe the mercy culture is the place where the Trinity meets. I believe that it's mercy through the Father, mercy through the Son, Jesus Christ, mercy through the Holy Spirit. The mercy culture is about encountering God through his mercy. You receive mercy so that you can give mercy. The mercy culture, watch, is the place where the presence of God dwells. When people met Jesus, they cried out for mercy. The spirit of grace is the spirit of favor. It's the spirit of mercy. When Moses said, God, who are you? He said, I'm a merciful God. Watch, where you find mercy, you will find the presence of God. Give me a musician to come play with me. This, I believe, is the culture of mercy. Watch. Everything through mercy. Everything through mercy. Watch. Family turmoil through mercy. Disagreements through mercy. Viewing racial injustice through mercy. What would happen if church disagreements were handled through mercy? What would happen if your family dilemmas were handled through mercy? Is anybody here today? What would happen, watch, if you handled your temptation and the attacks of enemy that came at you through mercy? Watch, everything from mercy and everything through mercy. This is so powerful. I asked the Holy Spirit to give me a word for you. We're going to prophesy tonight and flow. But I came with one specific word. I've been praying for months, every day. Lord, teach me your mercy culture. here's what I believe, is that when you can honor God through His Trinity, it's amazing. In pre-service prayer, that was what was prayed. You know, for years when I start out praying, the first thing I do is declare, Father, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy. Jesus, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy. Spirit of the living God, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy. For years, when I begin my daily prayer, I pray that way. I had no idea, watch, that for years God has been teaching me His mercy culture by teaching me how to honor the Trinity. Jesus in mercy. Holy Spirit in mercy. Father in mercy. Watch, in there where the three are, you see the most powerful demonstration of the presence of God. You see it in the Ark of the Covenant. You see it at the water baptism. And you see it on the cross, where Jesus is suspended between heaven and earth, pouring out His blood of mercy, as the Father is there giving His Son in mercy, as the Holy Spirit's power is enabling Jesus to walk in mercy. Watch, this is the mercy culture, that the cross is lifted up, the grace of God is revealed, and His presence is so powerful in our lives. The mercy culture is the place where the presence of God is tangibly there. The mercy culture is the place where you know God is real, because you know His presence is with you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.